Picture this, you're at the airport, you're browsing for a book to read on the flight, and instead of the latest bestseller or trashy magazine, you choose something that resonates, and resonates so strongly, you decide to do something about it. This all happened to the woman you're about to meet, Prue Salter, who will soon travel to Cambodia to inspect a local library her donation has helped to build. Before she goes, Prue's hoping Life Matters listeners can help her out with some other donations as well. I'll let her explain that in a little while. She's with me in the studio. Welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you.
Tell me about the book that had the impact.
It was one of those books that just caught my eye, Leaving Microsoft to Change the World. And coming from an ex-corporate culture myself, I thought, this sounds interesting. But it was a magical book because the guy spoke about how when he was backpacking in Nepal, he came across this little local school that had three books locked in a cabinet, like a Danielle Steele and something else, and this was their library. And he promised to get them some books. This turned into this saga where there was an enormous amount of donations coming in, and since then he's built, I think, 7,500 libraries across Asia and Africa in order to bring literacy to these students who just had no other opportunities. So it just blew me away.
This is a very familiar story to us here at Life Matters, because the book is Room to Read by John Wood, and he was sitting where you are now.
Wow.
Earlier in the year.
I feel honoured.
So you decided to... It is an amazing story, actually.
It is.
We're going to... it's one of those things we're going to play again in the summer just before Christmas. You decided that you had to get involved. Why a library in Cambodia? Any special reason?
There's a couple of reasons. I had a couple of friends who, one adopted an orphan from Cambodia, and the other one took in and fostered a student who, she was in an AIDS orphanage and her brothers have AIDS, and what was going to happen to this girl at the end of the time. So she sponsored her to come to Australia and study. I'd also been involved with an organisation called NEPCAM, and this is this amazing guy on the Northern Beaches, Dr. Colin Woodley, who he's been going back and forth to Nepal and Cambodia to teach a couple of weeks a year, and he started sponsoring students. And since then, he's built up this grassroots organisation where they sponsor the full education for about 400 different students. So I'd sort of had that, I guess, connection through these people. I'd seen the work they'd done. Mm. So when I went to the website and I thought, well, how can I be involved? You know, I haven't got the drive like John had to quit his job, change the world, but at least I can support financially the work that these people do. So I looked at the website and there was a lot of different options, but I guess I have a real passion for books, you know, and I saw these children, you know, in this book, they have three books and I have like 3,000 in my personal library. So to me, that really was something that could make a difference, because I do believe literacy education is the key to getting these people out of poverty. So the option was you could build a library and you would sponsor that project. The community would contribute a small amount, so they had some sense of ownership, which I think is really important. And they also would do the labour as well.
So how did you come up with the money?
When I started my business about 10 years ago, I'm very conscious of how lucky we are in Australia in terms of our educational opportunities, the lifestyle that we have. So I made a really hard decision from the beginning that I was going to take 5% of every dollar that came in and put that away. And as that money built up, I'd give that to different charities that work with children.
So 5% of turnover, not of profit.
I know. And that was a hard decision in the beginning, because there's no money when you first start a business.
No, there isn't.
And I can remember my husband saying, look, are you sure you really want to do this?
Yes.
And it was like, well, no, I've made this commitment. So, you know, I sometimes would have to borrow the donation money and then pay it back. And at times you'd be tempted, oh, maybe I should make it after tax. But I thought, no, it's not that much money when you think of it. You know, 5% is not really that much. So now it's great because I just build up this pool of money. And as it gets bigger, as I come across different charities that I think they're doing a really good job, I want to support their work.
Right. So can you tell me a bit more specifically about the library in Cambodia and the area and the kids?
Yeah, it's about 60 kilometres out of Siem Reap, so it's a little province, mainly subsistence farming. So they're mainly rice growers, but because they can only grow rice in the rainy season, it's not really enough to support them for the whole year. I think their annual income, it's something like a dollar a day is what most families are living on. So they're very poor.
It's a very poor country.
It's extremely poor country, and this is a very poor area. But the thing that blew me away when I sent the money off to Room to Read, and then they sent me a report of where they were going to build it, about the province, about the school, And what really threw me was that this school has 660 students and six rooms. That's like 110 kids in a class. Like I used to be a teacher. 30 kids can be a horror. 110 in one room. You know, so I think what they do is within each room, they split the group in half and they have two teachers within that room. But I was so amazed that despite the limitations of the buildings and the resources, they're really putting the effort into giving these kids the education they can. So the library they've built is a standalone building.
Mm-hmm.
It's built in the Khmer style, so it's got like beautiful tiled floors, the raked ceilings. And I think they stocked it with about 700 Khmer books and about 100 English books, puzzles, games, and they pay for a librarian as well.
Now, you haven't actually been and seen
it,
have you?
No, I was supposed to go a couple of because it was built last year. It was finished, and I was supposed to go, but I actually hurt my knee. And so this year I'm determined to get there. Some friends of mine, I didn't even know they were going, but they somehow managed to find the library and communicate that they knew this person, and they had just such an amazing experience. The photos really blew me away. So
you're off.
Yeah, because I'd like to do another project. I'd like to sponsor another library in Nepal, but I really want to actually see what they're doing as well. And there's a few different charities I support in Cambodia. I'd like to see what the work that they do.
On Life Matters today, my guest is Prue Salter, and she's a big contributor to the Room to Read project. You might remember earlier in the year we spoke to John Wood, the guy who started this, and essentially, Prue has put the money together to build a library in a fairly remote part of Cambodia in a school, and it's, we think, making a huge difference. She's off soon to see for herself. And Prue, this is where Life Matters listeners come in, because you're hoping that people will help you collect some special things to take with you. What are you after?
That's right. I run an online study skills sort of handbook website, and on that site, I put out a call to the students who use the website to write a letter to a child in Cambodia, because I thought, wouldn't it be magical? I mean, these kids are learning English. Wouldn't it be great if I had all these different letters that I took from students that were coloured, decorated, whatever, and I could give each child a personal letter. I mean, maybe they can only read two or three words to start with, but that would really mean a lot. So that's the first thing. If you've got any children who are bored with these school holidays coming up, I'd love you to write them just a simple letter about your life, what you do, maybe draw some pictures and send that to me. That would be great.
And so you're trying to set up a kind of pen pal system?
I don't know if it would be a pen pal system, because I think their level of language might not be enough, but it's more just to let them know that people out in the world are thinking of them, to make them feel special, something that will engage their love of language as well. I mean, it would make English seem real. I remember when I was teaching in Hong Kong, for a lot of these students, English didn't seem real until they had to speak to me. You know, it sort of gave them a meaning. So that would be the first thing I'd definitely love. Any letters would be grabby. We've got some already from a number of different schools, and we really do appreciate those too.
But you're after something else, too.
I am. I'm being greedy here. I thought, okay, I'm going to show up there, and I know that I've built the library, and I'll take the letters, but I thought I'd really like to take something to give to the students. Now, having travelled in Asia a lot, I know things like pens are a really big commodity. So my first thought was, can I fit 660 pens in a suitcase? I think I'd come close, maybe two, maybe a bit of oversized baggage.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I thought, rather than go out and buy, you know, cheap little plastic ones from Officeworks or somewhere, wouldn't it be great if people bought a special pen, a fun pen, you know, not like a Parker pen type thing, but something fun, kid-like. And I had lots of unique different types of pens to give the students. So if any listeners, next time they're somewhere near a stationery shop and they see some sort of like interesting little pen, they could post those to me before January and I could fill the suitcase.
All right. There's actually details of where to send the pens and letters are on the Life Matters website, abc.net.au/rn/Life Matters. I'll remind you of that again in a minute. Now, you plan to continue your involvement with Room to Read. What's next?
I think I had a look on the website, and it's really interesting to see when I first did this project, started a couple of years ago, to do a library was $10,000 US. I think because of economies of scale and because they've streamlined things, now I think $12,000 US builds three libraries, which is amazing.
Mm.
So I think I'd like to, because of the work of NEPCAM, and they work in Nepal and Cambodia with children, I think I'd like to build the three libraries in Nepal. So that's my project for next year. So I'll be saving up.
Oh, wow. You've also got another good cause for people to think about, And this one's about educational sponsorships, isn't it?
That's right. That's the NEPCAM, the organisation. Yeah. This is Dr. Colin Woodley's group. And what they do, I guess I really like it because it's so grassroots. He basically walks the streets of Cambodia, sees a kid sitting there and says, "Would you like to go to school?" And all of a sudden, this child has educational opportunities that they didn't have. So they do a program where they test the students to make sure they've probably got the aptitude to cope. And they commit to funding their educational costs, uniform fees, everything, all the way through school. They put money away so that they can then go into a trade or a tertiary organization. He started about 4 years ago. They're always looking for people who would like to sponsor at that real grassroots level and see what's happening. And they just had their first three girls make it all the way through school and start their trade qualification. I think one's already a teacher and one's training, which is just amazing to see.
It is.
So we're definitely, anyone who'd be interested in doing that sort of sponsorship, and I think those details are on the website as well.
They will be. Look, Prue, good luck with everything.
So
good luck with the trip. And let us know how generous Life Matters listeners are when it comes to letters.
I have great faith in
pens.
Them. Thank you.
All right, that is Prue Salter, who, well, bought a book to read on the plane, and it's changed her life, and it's changing other people's as well, and maybe it'll change yours in a small way. If you've got someone who could write a letter, or if you want to buy a pen, we will put the details on the website. I'll just remind you of that. That's abc.net.au/rn/lifematters. Prue's going to deliver these in late January, so you've got a bit of time, but, well, it's only 5 weeks till Christmas. Why not do it now? Remember, it is the season for giving. Don't go away. Still to come, to run or not to run.